بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم كن لوليك حجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا.
أربع ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على قصد الصلاح وحجة الكبرى الذي بيومه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: وجعلنا له نورا يمشي به في الناس، وقال أيضا: ومنهم من يمشي على بطنه. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has said in his hadith that من عرف الله وعظمه منع فاه من الكلام وبطنه من الطعام وعنى نفسه بالصيام والقيام. And so where he says that whoever has the ma'rifat of Allah, in Farsi we call it shanakht, in Urdu also we say ma'rifat, pehchan, the in-depth recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever has the in-depth recognition of Allah وَعَظَّمَهُ and considered Allah to be azim and great, مَنَعَ فَاهُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ, he will be having a controlled talk. That means he just can't say whatever he or she likes to say. He would be having a controlled talk if we have the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of Allah and we consider Allah to be azim and great. So anybody who has a controlled talk, this is one of the signs. Every haqiqat, every reality has a sign. And we discover that reality through those signs. So, the sign of the reality that a person has the ma'rifat and in-depth recognition of Allah, and he considers Allah to be Alim and great. The first sign of this type of person is, the first symptom of this type of person is that he will be having a controlled talk. مَنْ عَفَاهُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ وَبَطْنَهُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ. And he will not eat just anything he likes to eat. Instead, he will have a controlled food. وَعَنَّ نَفْسَهُ بِالصِّيَامِ وَالْقِيَامِ. And he will have inayat, he will take care of his own self through fasting, بالصيام والقيام, through fasting and prayers. So we understand, obviously, in the light of this beautiful hadith, although all the ahadith are equally beautiful, that by prayers and fasting, we actually are taking care of our own selves, our own spirituality. It's not a favor done on anybody. We can't do no favor for Allah. In the real sense, we are favoring our own selves if we understand. In the dictionary of the Islamic teachings, the humanity is divided into three. The human beings are either classified as a regular mu'min, a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a human falls in the category of being a waliyullah, one of the awliyaullah, one of the beloved servants of Allah. Or if we don't happen to fall in one of these two categories of humans, that means that we are neither a mu'min nor a waliyullah, a beloved servant of Allah, then all the rest, ghairul mu'min, all the rest of the people are actually in the same category. Ghairul mu'min, non-mu'mins. And the sign of somebody who has iman and the ma'rifat is what I already described to you from the in the light of the hadith of Rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad. And Quran is saying, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. So we understand there are some humans who fall in that category when they are walking among the humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided a noor for them. So they are walking along with that noor in the humanity. Everything of theirs is noor and nurani. And noor is defined in the Arabic as al-zahiru li nafsihi wal-mudhiru li ghayrihi. Something which is obvious on in its own, and it makes the rest of the things around it obvious. You enter into a hall and there was no light, the light was turned off, so you turn the switch on and you find everything that was unclear and dark now became obvious. So, well, this is what we are talking about, the noor of this alamul madda, the material world, whereas right moments ago we were not talking about the material world at all. We were talking about the metaphysical world, alamul ma'naviyat, alamul malakut. The noor that belongs to the alamul malakut is not comparable to the noor that belongs to the material and physical world. I just gave an example to make you understand. Otherwise, there is no comparison. So, there are people who are walking, when they walk in the humanity, in the society, they walk with the noor. Whereas, Quran also informs us about some people that جَعَلْنَا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَمْشِي عَلَى بَطْنِهِ. There are some who walk over his stomach. What a beautiful statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He's informing about some people who are walking over their stomachs, because that's the focus of their life. Maybe one of the reasons is this, because the guy, his focus of life is just to fill up his stomach. Whereas, that's not a mu'min supposed to be. What to talk of the awliya Allah, the second category of humans who are way higher than that. A waliullah is way higher, but a regular woman is also supposed to be having controlled talk, like I mentioned from the hadith, and a controlled food. So everything for a regular woman, when Islam comes to a regular woman, Islam's policy says, stay quiet. Sukut and silence in Sharia is considered to be an ibadat and worship of Allah for a regular woman. Don't speak up. Stay quiet. Unless you must. And when you have to, then you have to speak nothing but haq. This is the policy of Islam when it comes to a regular mu'min. But when it comes to the awliya Allah, the beloved servants of Allah, everybody can become one of the beloved servants of Allah, like my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah was saying, that the door of imamat and nubuwwat is shut. So no one can be a prophet anymore. And no one can be a ma'soom imam anymore, because the door of imamat and nubuwwat is already shut. But the door of imam walayat is never shut. So anybody can become a beloved servant of Allah. We can all be part of awliya Allah if we wish to. And the beauty of Islam is the ball is always in our own court. So we have to do something to be whatever we wish. So when it comes to the awliya Allah, the policy of Islam is totally different than the policy towards a regular mu'min. Towards a regular mu'min, Islam says, stay quiet. Sukut is an ibadat of Allah, as long as we are thinking and pondering and reflecting about the umur and affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even your silence is ibadat. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam talks about Abu Dharr, our sixth Imam, he says, "Kana aktharu ibadati Abi Dharr at-tafakkur." The major portion of the ibadat and worship of Abu Dharr was thinking. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam didn't say in the hadith the major portion of the ibadat and worship of Abu Dharr was Salatul Layl. Of course he used to pray Salatul Layl, the Masjid Shab as well, but that was not the major portion of his ibadat. The major portion of the worship that Abu Dharr, belonging to the ninth level of Iman, performed was tafakkur. So tafakkur fi umurillah, thinking about the affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is also a great ibadat in the eyes of Allah. So we need to stay silent and think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His affairs. That's the beauty of a regular mu'min. Unless we have to speak, and then we speak nothing but haq. But for awliya Allah, the policy is totally 180 degrees opposite to this. Because Allah says to awliya Allah, Allah demands from awliya Allah that speak up. Don't stay quiet. If you don't speak, then who else has the right to speak? So that's why we find the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, they never used to stay silent in the gatherings. If somebody posed a question, they responded to his query. And if they didn't ask a question, then Prophet used to initiate his talk always. That's how Imam Ali alayhi salam was. Because they are part of awliya, and the duty of Allah on their neck is totally different from the duty that applies on the regular mu'mineen. So they always speak up. And everything of theirs is nurani. That means their talk is nurani. That means their walking is nurani. That means their sleep is also nurani. That means their policies of life are also nurani. Everything of their personality is enlightening the rest of the people around them and serves as a role model for them to obey and follow. That's what the nur is all about. Everything of theirs is a guidance, is a beacon of guidance for the rest. So we find, in the tafsir of Tantabi, it is narrated that the Prophet was traveling somewhere. On his travel, on his way, he relaxed. In order to relax for a while, he just sat under the shadow of a tree. Bunch of companions were with him. This guy, the narrator, says, I I saw the Prophet was there, so I thought it's the best time, let me go and see the Prophet. And of course the gatherings of Prophets are like this, like I explained, you always used to initiate the talk. If somebody didn't ask any question, so let's go and benefit from Rasulullah. And he says, in those few moments that he relaxed under the shadow of a tree, Prophet was talking about the difference between a mu'min and a non-mu'min. That a mu'min is the one who knows if he gets, in other words, we learn in the light of the hadith, that if he gets the shifa from an illness, a mu'min realizes that his health is not permanent. So how to benefit from the time when he's healthy, from his well-being, and who gives him the shifa. So what we are supposed to do when we are healthy, how to benefit from these times and opportunities. Whereas a non-mu'min has no idea who makes him ill and who gives him shifa, and what to do when we have the shifa and we have the health. Just like a naqa, just like a camel, doesn't know who tied him up, for how long he's there, what he's supposed to do, no idea about these things. So a mu'min benefits from everything around him. And man arif Allaha wa azzamahu, whoever has the ma'rifat of Allah, the in-depth recognition of Allah, and considers Allah to be great, mana'a fahu min al-kalam, he stops his mouth from speaking just anything. Just means he has a controlled talk. So we find about ulama of akhlaq, just like in the medical science, you study about the illnesses and their root causes and their signs and their symptoms and their cures. Isn't that right? Similarly, in ilmul akhlaq, which is one of the most beautiful Islamic sciences, we are taught about the spiritual illnesses and their root causes and their signs and their cures. Why in the world a person performs ghibat? He doesn't have a controlled talk. Whenever he may sit and hang around in a bunch of people, he can always end up backbiting his fellow mu'min brother. It's a spiritual illness. It's not just a simple problem. There's a root cause to that. Why is a person a hypocrite and munafiq, having a dual policy? When he comes to this gathering, he says this and this and this. When he shows up in another gathering, he talks against, opposite to what he said earlier. Having dual policies in his life, dual faces to his personality. Why people have this munafiqat and hypocrisy in their personalities? It's a spiritual illness which has a root cause. And unless and until you address its root cause, you can never address the problem. And what are the symptoms and the signs and the cures of these spiritual illnesses? So when our scholars of akhlaq write down the books on the Islamic morality, it's not without a reason that a lot of them start their books of akhlaq by mentioning the sins of the tongue first. Maybe one of the reasons is that the largest number of share, if you divide all the sins on the parts of the human body, the largest number of share falls in the favor of the tongue. Because there are approximately 46 sins and spiritual illnesses. 46 sins that we perform through the tongue only. There is no single part of the human body that performs 46 sins other than the tongue. So it's a very fundamental thing and very frequently found illness that you find in the human community, that they end up doing sins related to their tongue, you know. And the largest people of those who will end up entering into the hellfire will be entering because of two reasons, and one of those two is because of their tongues. So we find the Prophet is saying, "Man mana'a fahu, man arif Allahu azzamahu, mana'a fahu min al-kalam." We cannot have just whatever talk we want to say. Well, instead we will have a controlled talk. We will think before we do. You know, Prophet was in a gathering and he was talking about ghibat, and one of the ashab came out of that gathering, and what he did is he picked up a bunch of stones, rocks, and he put it into his mouth.
There was another guy who was standing outside. He said, "Hey, what are you doing?
He said, you were not there inside that gathering. I was sitting there. I was listening to what the Holy Prophet has said right now about ghibat. So I just came out from that gathering. So I think that's the best thing for me, to put some rocks in my mouth so I have some moments, some time to think before I speak. Because I need to take the rocks out first before I speak.
Subhanallah.
Because when you usually, what happens is when you talk to people about ghibat, they say, Maulana, hum toh sach hi keh rahe hain, unhone toh aisa kaha tha. When you talk to people, they say, no, we are saying the truth. The guy has said it. Well, the ghibat is always true. If you are talking something which was false, it will fall in the category of tuhmat and slander, which is even worse than ghibat. Ghibat is always true. But not every truth has to be told everywhere to every person at all times. So, this has to be very much clear in our minds that a mu'min, a regular mu'min, has to have a controlled talk. And, بَطْنَهُ مِنَ الطَّعَامِ. So this is, we are talking about the regular mu'min right now. We didn't reach the awliya Allah, Zakariya ibn Adam, rahmatullahi alayh, such a great personality of the glorious Shia history. And this great of Waliullah and beloved servant of Allah who is buried in the maqbara of Shaykhan. Shaykhan is a very tiny maqbara and graveyard close to the entrance of the haram of Hazrat Masuma sallallahu alayha in Qum. There's a tiny graveyard in front of it which has the graves of some of the great personalities of Shia history. And one of those is Zakariya ibn Adam rahmatullahi alayh, who was the wakil of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad
al-Ajjal. The maraji, this alim representing that marji. So in those days, they were wakala of Imams alayhi salatu wa salam. And Zakariya ibn Adam was the wakil. And you can understand from the end of this narration about the greatness of Zakariya ibn Adam, because he wrote a letter to Imam Ridha alayhi salam from Qum that the elderly people of the town have passed away and I'm not familiar with the younger generation and they're not familiar with me. So if you allow me, I would like to migrate back. I want to come back. I want to migrate from the holy city of Qum to you and stay with you. This holy city of the city of Qum is certainly a very holy city in Islam, and it has a lot of greatness that we learn in the light of the hadith. The holy city of Qum is the haram of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam, because Imam Sadr al-Islam has said in his hadith that inna lillahi haraman wa huwa Makkah. Certainly Allah has a haram, a sacred sanctity and holy place, which is Makkah. وَإِنَّ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ حَرَمًا وَهُوَ الْمَدِينَةِ. And certainly the Messenger of Allah has a holy place and haram and holy sanctity, which is Medina. وَإِنَّ لِأَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ حَرَمًا وَهُوَ الْكُوفَةِ. And Amir al-Mu'min has a haram, which is Kufa. وَإِنَّ لَنَا حَرَمًا وَهُوَ قُمْ. And Imam Sadr al-Islam says, and certainly we have a haram, and that is Qum. So Qum is considered to be haram of Ahlul Bayt, and haram of Imam Sadiq al-Islam. And Ushu Ali Muhammad, that's the nest. Just like a bird has a nest, this is the hometown of Ali Muhammad alayhi salam. There's a place which belongs to the lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
We have great, great personalities of our Islamic history coming from this holy town. And that's the reason why this town is considered to be so great. Because of those great personalities and because of Hazrat Masuma sallallahu alayha, who is buried there. When the Prophet was taken on Mi'raj, Shaykh Saduq rahmatullahi alayhi in Ilal al-Shara'i has narrated this hadith that Prophet asked Jibreel to take him to this place, talking about why the city of Qum is called Qum. Qum in Arabic is the tense of command, which means stand up. Why the city is called stand up? What is the history of this word, this naming of the city? So Sheikh Saduq narrates this narration. Prophet asked Jibreel to take him there, and Jibreel took him there on the occasion of Mi'raj, and he was traveling, and that's where Prophet found Shaitan was lying on his stomach, on his belly, on this land. And Prophet said to Shaitan, Qum ya mal'oon, wa sharikun nas bi amwalihim wa nisa'ihim wa awladihim. Kama fi mazmoon al-riwayah. So Prophet has said to Shaitan, stand up. So Prophet basically asked the Shaitan to leave this piece of land which belongs to the lovers of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salatu wasalam. So that's the reason why, because the Prophet asked him to stand up, Qum, that's why the city was named as Qum. So what I was saying to you is this holy city has a lot of greatness as you turn to the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt and a lot of praise. Some of the hadiths even go as far as this is informing us that Al-Qumiyun la yuhasabun. The people belonging to the city of Qum will not be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. There will be no hisab from them, no accountability from them. Al-Qumiyun la yuhasabun. Law al-Qumiyun lan darasat atharul haqq. If people of Qum were not there, the signs of haqq would have been erased from the planet. That means nothing of haqq would remain if they were not there. So there's a huge amount of praise for the people belonging to this city, certainly because of the services that they have performed for the walayat of Ahlul Bayt throughout the history and even today. So we find Zakariya ibn Adam is one of those great personalities who belongs to the city of Qum. He is a Qummi person belonging to this town. And he wrote this letter to Imam Ruhu alayhi salam, and he's one of the awliyaullah. And you would understand from the end of the narration, like I said earlier, why he is one of the beloved servants of Allah. So he writes to Imam Ruhu alayhi salam that the elderly people have passed away, and if you and the younger generation, I'm not familiar with them, I'm not ma'noos with them, so if you allow me, I can come to you. And Imam alayhi salam said no. Imam sent a message to him, no, you have to stay there, because Allah is terminating the adab to arrive on the city of Qum because of your presence. So because of the presence of Zakariya ibn Adam on this land, the adab cannot arrive on this holy town. So you know, you understand the greatness of the way Allah is terminating the adab to arrive on the people of Baghdad because of the presence of my father, Imam Musa al-Kadhim alayhi salatu wasalam. So these are the awliya Allah. These are the beloved servants of Allah. They are not engaged in the talk of, you know, what did we buy and what did we eat. This is not what they used to talk. So we find they're above that level. So some people are such who are walking on their stomachs. Minhum may yamshi ala batnihi. See the crawling insects? They walk over their bellies. Well, they are insects, but there are some humans who also walk over their stomachs in the dictionary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of the fact that their focus of life is just to fill up their stomach. Doing halal haram jobs. If we don't care what is halal, what is haram, where we make the money from, what's the source of income, just to fill up our stomach. No matter from what source it is, this is exactly what we would fall in the category of walking over the stomachs. Man lam yubali, Amir Mumin al-Islam has said, Man lam yubali min ayna iktasab al-mal, lam yubali Allah min ayna adkhalahu al-nar. This insan ko ye parwa na ho, ke kahan se maal kama raha hai, source of income kya hai? Somebody who doesn't care from which source he makes the money from, لَمْ يُبَالِ اللَّهِ. Allah will also allow not care from where He throw him into the hell. So it's not just eating pork or non-halal meat, you know, but there are lots of other harams that people are doing haram jobs towards Tawud. towards zulm, supporting the zulm in various forms, which is also haram. So basically, some people are walking over their stomachs because that's what the insects, the crawling insects do. Well, they cannot, they're animals, they can't think beyond that, beyond their reproduction and beyond filling up their stomachs. That's the only things that they can focus on. But we are humans, we need to be above and beyond these two things. So, Imam Ali Rasulullah had a garden, and he came. This gardener who was working, Imam asked him if he had some food, and he said, "Yeah, Amir Mu'minin, of course I have some food, but it's not appropriate to be served to you." Imam said, "Bring it." And he brought Sada Kaddu, pumpkins. Imam alayhi salam, he washed his hands and he ate the food. And then he pointed towards his stomach and said, that a stomach which can be full with this type of simple food, in other words, how bad it is for a person to go to hell for the sake of his stomach. You know, some people will go to hell for the sake of their stomach because that's their focus of attention, you know. And they don't care whether, we don't sit on just any food spread. We don't sit on any maida. Ek mumin har dasturkhan pe nahi baith sakta. जहां जी चाहा बैठ गए, जो जी चाहा खा लिया, जिसके घर जी चाहा खा लिया. That's not the way a mu'min behaves. We pick and choose. Look at what the Holy Prophet has said to Abu Dharr in his wasaya, in the wasiyat and the advices that the Prophet had given to Abu Dharr. أطعم الطعام من تحبه في الله. Give food to the person whom you love him for the sake of Allah.
Subhanallah, mashallah.
وَقُلْ تَعَامَ مَنْ يُحِبُّكَ فِي اللَّهِ. And eat the food from a person who loves you for the sake of Allah.
Allahu Akbar.
So a mu'min just can't eat any food that we like, we feel like eating. That's not how a mu'min behaves. So, we have to be particular about what we eat and how we eat, you know, because this is going to have a direct impact, you know, on whatever we perform. Everything that we perform, our behaviors, our spirituality, in the knowledge, in the science of Islamic spirituality, it is a proven fact that if somebody consumes a haram, then the haq will never have impact on his soul. That's a proven fact. See what Imam Hussain had delivered sermons on the day of Ashura. And after delivering the sermon, Imam Hussain addressed to the Ashqiya that, I'm advising you, but I know my advices are not going to work for you. Why? Because the reason he also mentions it. He says, قَدْ مُلِئَتْ بُطُونَكُمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Because your stomachs are full with haram. So even if a person like Imam Hussain comes and gives his advices, it's never going to work if the stomach is full with haram. And besides the ma'naviyat that we are talking about, a person trying to become one of the beloved servants of Allah, to elevate our position from a status of a regular mu'min to the status of a waliullah and becoming a beloved servant of Allah, which every mu'min should strive to be like that in his life, that status of ma'naviyat and metaphysical teachings of Islam, the door of ma'naviyat is shut on a person as soon as he eats in full. What to talk of eating haram? My teacher was saying that when a person eats in full, then nothing of the ma'navi things can now enter into his soul. So in Islam, it has been emphasized not to eat in full. Never eat in full. The Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, it never happened in their life, even once in their life, that they ate in full. Some of the days in the Prophet's life, he used to tie up a stone over his stomach. There was no food to eat. And even if there was the food to eat, they never used to eat in full. So that's the way they were. Al-ilmu fil-ju' You know, ilm is in hunger. That's what Imam Ali al-Islam has said, you know. Some people are trying to find knowledge and Islamic spiritual knowledge in filling up their stomachs, whereas they can never find the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as their stomachs are full. So the door of Ma'rifat is always shut. So, and we find that when Imam Ruhullah al-Islam used to eat the food, he used to collect the best of the foods, some of the best things from the food, and gather it into a plate or a bowl and send it to the some of those destitute, poor people of the city first before starting the food.
Allahu Akbar.
That's how our Imams were. So we find that a person has to be above. And besides, our scholars also say that no matter what type of food you eat, the taste of your food, you know, is there as long as it crosses this 3 inch of tract, your tongue. As soon as the loaf of bread crosses this 3 inch of tongue and goes inside your throat, it really doesn't matter what it was, an expensive loaf of bread, or it was a cheap food that you were consuming. It doesn't really matter. For just for the sake of this 3 inch of distance, how much some people are focusing and running after it in their lives. For the sake of this 3 inch of distance, because after it goes into the throat, it really doesn't matter what type of food it was. Isn't that right? Whether it was expensive cuisine or the very simple food, it doesn't matter. It's all the same. After it enters into the throat, you don't feel the taste any longer. So, man arifa Allah wa azzamahu, whoever has the ma'rifat of Allah and considers Allah to be azim, that's how he would behave. So, when Prophet informed the ashab with this, some of those ashab with this hadith, somebody asked him, Ya Rasulullah, aha'ula'e awliya'ullah? Are these the beloved servants of Allah? And Prophet replied, no. In other words, he said, beloved servants of Allah in awliya'ullah. This is actually what he said, but no. He said that the beloved servants of Allah are in awliya'ullah sakatu fakana sukutuhum fitran. Awliya'ullah are those people that when they are silent, their silent is tafakkur and thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa takallamu fakana kalamuhum dhikran. And when they would speak, their talk is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَشَوْ فَكَانَ مَشْيَتُهُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بَرَكَةً. And when they would walk, their walking in the society, in the people, is barakat and blessing. وَنَتَقُوا فَكَانَ نُطْقُهُمْ حِكْمَةً. And when they would talk, their talk is wisdom. وَلَوْلَا الْآجَالُ الَّتِي كُتِبَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. If it was not the fixed time of death that has already been written, لَمْ تَسْتَقِرْ أَرْوَاحُهُمْ فِي أَجْسَابِهِمْ. Their souls would not have remained in their bodies. That's the Mazmoon al-Riwayah. It would not have been remaining in their body. They would basically fly out and go, and because they are already attached to the malakut, to the world of the hidden realities already. They are not living in this world with their souls anyway. They are just living with their bodies. That's how the awliya Allah are. And this, so we need to be attached with the awliya'ullah in our lives. If a regular mu'min wants to get elevated to the position of waliullah and becoming a beloved servant of Allah, then we need to be attached with the awliya and have halal food and controlled food and controlled talk. You know, the teacher of Imam Khomeini from whom he had learned the ilm al-irfan and ilm al-ma'rifat, Ayatullah al-Uzma Sheikh Shah Abadi, such a great arif, mujtahid of our history. He had a person showing up from some village praying behind him in Tehran, and this guy came and praying, was praying behind him. Once he came to Sheikh Shah Abadi after the prayers was done, and he said that every time I used to pray behind you in Jamaat, I used to see a Sayyid, very Jalilul Qadr, majestic personality, standing ahead of you during the prayers, a Sayyid person standing ahead of you saying his prayers. But today when I came, I didn't see him. And Sheikh Shahabadi is a great Arif, he knows, he said, where are you from? And he said, I belong to such and such village. And then he asked, what did you used to eat? He said, of course, we are villagers, we have our own farms, so we have our own crops and harvest, so we eat our own food from our own farms. So, but what did you eat last night, yesterday? He said, yes, yesterday what I did, what do you eat recently? And he said, recently I went to a shop there in the bazaar and purchased the food from the bazaar. So that's the reason, he said, that's the reason that you stopped seeing that Sayyid who was standing in front of me. So one food has that type of impact that we can't even think of how much, how drastic impacts our foods have on our spirituality. So if a person cares about these divine teachings and Nurani teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, then he will be departing from this world with the Noor. And that's the currency they buy as we are laid down into the graves. That's what they buy from us. The currency they buy is that how much Noor of the Aqeedah of Haqq you have brought with you, how much Noor and divine light of the Ahkam, of the obediences of Allah's Ahkam have you brought in your soul, and how much Noor of the beautiful spiritual, moral, akhlaqi attributes have you brought in your soul? This is what they would ask in the grave. The currency they buy is Noor, just like you see the computer speaks nothing but 0 and 1. Likewise, the angels know nothing but Noor. That's, they are made from Noor, they are not made from soil. They are Noor-friendly creatures. So the more Noor you have brought in your soul, the more rich you are when you are laid into the grave. And the less Noor you have brought in your soul, the less richness you have with you, and the less thing you have to show in front of the angels who know nothing but the Noor. If you don't have the Noor, then it's all zulmat and darkness. Just like those people who have gathered in Karbala in front of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, full of the darkness and zulmat. So this all comes from the more we understand the religion, tafaqquh fi deen, in-depth understanding of the religion, and obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Imam Hussain alayhi salam doesn't stand in need of anybody. People didn't stand in need of the Imam of the time. Imam didn't need nobody. Well, we all stand in need of the Imam for our guidance. So Imam is not standing in need, but the people are muhtaj towards the Imam. The only person, according to some narrations of the scholars, the only person that Imam Hussein had written a letter and invited him was Habib ibn Mawahir. Min al Hussein ibn Ali ila Rajul al Faqih. From Hussein, son of Ali, to the man who is Faqih. He has the in-depth understanding of the religion. Habib ibn Mawahir. Habib, son of Mawahir. Hazrat Mawahir was a very great person. Once he came in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was visiting Rasulullah, and the Prophet saw that his son Habib is walking behind Imam Hussein, who is also a child, and picking up the soil from under the feet of Hussein and putting over his head. That's how Hazrat Mudahir had been raising his children on the love of Hussein ibn Ali. So his son Habib is picking the soil from under the feet of Hussein. When Prophet saw this, he cannot help. He expressed his love towards Habib. He expressed his love towards Habib ibn Mudahir. So anybody who had love towards Hussein used to become beloved of Rasulullah. Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma fa ahibbahuma. Oh my Lord, I love these two. That means I love Hassan and Hussein. So you also love them. Wa ahibba man yuhibbuhuma. And love those who love. Love the one who loves Hassan and Hussein. So Habib ibn Mawahir is the beloved of Rasulullah. And Imam Hussein is now writing letter to Habib. the old childhood friend of Imam Hussein. Mera Hussein ibn Ali era Habib ibn Mubarak. And then he says, somebody knocked at the door and this guy came with the letter of Imam Hussein. Habib saw the writing, the handwriting of Imam Hussein. This is such a great gift for him. And he sees that Imam Hussein says, you know, we are surrounded by the enemies. وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you know our my relationship with Rasulullah. Of course, Habib knows the relationship of Imam Hussein. What is the relationship of Imam Hussein to Rasulullah? You remember when Rasulullah is doing the sajda in Masjid al-Nabi, and Imam Hussein comes over the back of Rasulullah, and when Prophet was about to raise his head, Allah sent Jibreel that you don't raise your head until Hussein gets off your back himself. And Prophet said, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdi 70 times, 70 times. And then Imam Hussein got off his back. You know the relationship Imam Hussein enjoys with Rasulullah? How much beloved he is? When Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein are riding over the shoulders of Rasulullah on the occasion of Eid, and we find somebody says, what a nice ride, what a nice person who's riding these two. And Prophet said about Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, and how nice are those who are riding on him. You can see this is the karabat that Imam Hussein enjoys with Rasulullah. So now Imam Hussein has written this letter that we are surrounded, in other words, which I'm paraphrasing in my own words, we are surrounded by the enemies, and you know my relationship with Rasulullah. If you can come, you know, to help us come, we find, you know, if you can come. So we find Habib al-Mazar comes inside, and his wife asks the question, who has sent the letter? And he says, it is the letter from the son of Rasulullah. And she says, so what did he write? And Habib narrates the text of the letter. You know, Imam Hussein says that we are surrounded by the enemies, and you know my relationship with Rasulullah, so if you can come. We find that Habib, when he narrated this text, his wife asked him, so what are you thinking? He said, I'm thinking about you. What is going to happen to you? That means if I go and become shaheed, who is going to take care of you? And his wife was a mu'mina. She said, according to some of the narration, she threw her chadar on the face of Habib and said, you are thinking about me and you are not thinking about Hussein? If you don't go for to serve Imam Hussein, I will go myself to sacrifice my life to go and serve Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Habib replied, I was just trying to test you. Otherwise, it is not possible that my Mawla invites me and I don't show up to help him. So Habib sent his servant to take the horse at such and such place in the outskirts of the city of Kufa. And this servant was waiting for Habib. As he arrived a little bit late, we find that the servant was talking to the horse by saying that if my master doesn't come and to ride and go to serve Imam Hussein, don't worry, I will ride myself to go and sacrifice my life for Hussein ibn Ali. When Habib heard this conversation, he addressed Imam Hussein alayhi salam by saying, Yabna Rasul, saying, you know, what a mazlumiyat, in other words, you have, that even the servants are ready to sacrifice their lives for you. And he said to his servant, that I set you free. And his servant said, this is not fair, because as long as I was in your service, you kept me there. But now that you are going to serve Hussein ibn Ali, you are setting me free, I will also go and accompany you to sacrifice my life for Imam Hussein. So Habib took his servant also, and then in Karbala we find Imam Hussein was distributing the ra'yat, the flax, the parcham among his army men, and each the flag of every person was given to him, except one flag that he did not give to anybody. And somebody asked Imam Hussein, you did not distribute this one flag. And he said, the one who deserves to get is about to arrive. In other words, we find that soon there was a dust seen from the side of Kufa, and they welcome Habib ibn Mazahir. And this time Hazrat Zainab has sent Fidwa to go and find out who has arrived, because you know, Hazrat Zainab has been listening to the news, the army of Umar ibn Sa'd has arrived, such and such army of Ashqiya have arrived. So she asked, she said, Fizza, to go and find out this time. And Fizza came back and said, this is the old childhood friend of Hussein, Habib ibn Madahir, who came for Imam Hussein al Islam. Hazrat Zainab, when she heard that, she said to Fizza, go and say my salam to Habib ibn Madahir. So we find that Fizza came and gave the salam of Zainab. The riwayat says that Habib sat down on the soil of Karbala and he started to pick up the khaki Karbala, the turbat, and put over his head. Because, you know, what time it is, this is, that Hazrat, my lady Zainab is saying salam to a servant like me.
أنا رحمة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعدها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الاسلام والمسلمين
الله
يعلم ما لها قرت من الاسلام قصر فلان فرما
الله
يعلم من الكفر والشرك والنفاق قصر نجوم فرما
الله يعلم
جناب الاسلام کی حفاظت فرما
الله يعلم
تمام علماء ربانيين تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پر برقرار
الله يعلم
تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما
الله يعلم
تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما
الله يعلم
تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق
دے اللہ آمین
بانی مجلس کے مرحومین کی مغفرت فرما
اللہ آمین
بانی مجلس کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما
اللہ آمین
فائلہ ہم سب تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائے
اللہ آمین
ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما
اللہ آمین
ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے
اللہ آمین
ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیمین یا حسین